good to go.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Andy. I'm all mine.
Hello. Good morning, Andy. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's 9 o'clock on Friday, April 17th, 2020. And this is the second budget meeting for the town of Curie Beach. So we will turn it over to our financial director, Arlen Copenhaver.
I thought we would just very quickly, these were the assumptions that we started with last time, and I'm not necessarily going to go through those. The reason I put them there is we made one change now since the last meeting, which actually relates to the fire department. So the budget that you see in front of you now, instead of having an increase of 3 full-time positions, it includes just one. So I thought the best way to do it was kind of start where we left off last time, which this was the schedule that showed the over or short for each one of our funds. And the first three funds, general fund, was short $251,208. Water and sewer fund was short $141,678. And stormwater was short $6,353. And I guess after the last meeting where council directed the department head to go back and look at, you know, where budgets could be fine-tuned, in particular the general fund and water and sewer fund, and we did that. So what I have next is just starting with that shortage that we had, that I just mentioned, I'll start with the general fund, shortage of $251,208. I just summarized on this page all the changes that the department heads did over the last 2 weeks to try to reduce that shortage. In addition, at the bottom of the page is a couple revenue adjustments. Unfortunately, they went the other way, that we made some adjustments to decrease some of the revenue estimates for the general fund. Net effect is that as of today, without considering, you know, some of the other factors we probably need to talk about, we're still short $38,478, which, again, significant decrease from where we were, but still not at zero. I thought what might be helpful if council wants to hear you, each department had explained the cuts that they made and whether you had questions about the impact on town operations and services that those cuts may have. So
that sounds like a good plan, Marlon.
I'm not sure who wants to go first, but
I can go ahead.
Yeah, so that's fine. So with this, I may skip around, but it gives a little more detail for each department on what has actually changed. So,
page 7.
So, yes, on slide number 7, so in the middle is the fire department. So Ed was going to go first, so it kind of summarizes his changes. I'll let him talk a little more about that.
Mayor, commissioners. Since the first budget workshops, essentially the only thing that we changed was we took out the original request for 3 full-time firefighters. We also scaled back the request for, I think it was 7 sets of turnout gear for volunteers. We reduced that down to 3 sets of gear for volunteers, which reduced the original request by $14,000. And then we also looked at the each line of where we could essentially take out even more if we could. And we have 2 telephones in our building that have minimal use that we felt that we could also take some out there. And Mandy may be able to correct me, but I would assume that 2 telephones is roughly $700 a year.
Okay.
It may be off by.
It depends on where you've fallen from the contract. It's only like $7 a month to rent each
your handsets, and it'll affect the service a little bit, as far as the price on the service monthly. But it just depends on where you've gotten on the contract as to what your handset is. That's
right.
Look.
So, Ed, on the PPE, I know they sent out that PPE for fire departments grant stuff. Are you going to try to get some of your gear in that, or it doesn't fit the criteria? I haven't looked at it that close. But
yes, sir. So there's two major grants. One is the AFG, and we apply for that every single year.
Yep.
And normally we try for PPE because it's usually the most, it's usually the easiest
yep.
item that you can acquire. The other one is with the state, and we do not meet that criteria anymore due to going, I believe it's after you have six or more full-time employees, you cannot apply for it. And that particular grant is a 50-50 match.
No, I was talking about the new one that they just did for coronavirus. It said four PPE.
Yep. We're going to do that one as well.
Okay. But does it even allow turnout gear, or is it really?
It does.
Oh, it does?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Okay. So you're not stopping your seven volunteers necessarily, you're just dropping back in the budget and trying in different ways. Is that
That's
the plan?
Right.
Okay. I just want to understand the plan.
And that line item actually already considers each year we have a turnout gear replacement program where we get four sets of turnout gear. So we're still getting the original four sets that we do every single year. And then now instead of an additional seven or eight sets of gear, we scaled that back to three. So we can get seven sets of brand new turnout gear this year. I believe that's it as far as the changes. I think Arlen has towards the end what the reduction of not adding that full-time firefighter would cost as well. I don't have that number in front of me, but it was around
35, 36, because then there's an increase in part-time.
Yep, honestly, yeah, it's all
good. But it's something we can talk about later in regard to other options. So. And then I guess lifeguards, there was no change to that budget.
Yeah, but on the incoming side, I assume you have a change, or you don't know right now?
I still don't know. I left that as a, for TBA and lifeguards, I left it as a wash. So
okay.
One equals the other right at this point. So.
Right.
I mean, if we wind up with a reduced season, we would have reduced expense as well.
Correct.
So I'm not certain that I'm overly worried about that, but there could be some gap.
Right.
So that's a good question.
That's the way I kind of looked at it. That, yeah, if there is a reduced season, and then really the true effect on this budget is the net effect is zero, since the revenue and the expense are equaling each other. So.
Okay. Any other questions for the chief? Liaison, you're okay?
I'm not a liaison. John?
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. John is the liaison. John, are you okay?
No. I mean, I'm fine.
You're fine with it? Okay.
Yeah, and I like that he has a plan to try for.
Yeah,
for
I keep forgetting you're on the fire department.
I know, yeah.
So.
Well, I just asked him because we need some young guys on there because my old self is slow. I'm worried about passing his physical.
Alan? Joseph? Okay. Thanks, Chief. Nice reductions, though.
Thank you.
That's one third of, that's almost half of the problem.
So then also at the top of page 7 is the police department. So I'll let Mike walk through those changes.
The first one was retirement, which that's I have no idea.
We got our final retirement rate since the first round of the budget, and it was just slightly less than what was budgeted. So that everybody has an adjustment to their retirement expense. Very small, but every little bit helps.
And then part-time, we're down to one part-time guy right now. We'd love to hire another one, but it's probably going to take a good while for us to get a new part-time person.
Is that because what's happening with the other departments around us, or?
No, we've got two that both left out of state to pursue other.
No, but I meant hiring, not that you're losing guys. I understand.
Hiring part-time people, a good part-time person is very difficult. Most of them have other jobs and other responsibilities. It's very, very difficult to get somebody that's good. If you do hire a younger person that doesn't have another job, they tend to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes us a little bit longer to get the right person. So, but we've reduced that down by 4306. Travel and training, probably not going to do a whole lot of travel and training this year.
yeah.
So we've cut that back a little bit, about 5,000. And then the building maintenance, we've cut 10,000. We were able to do the garage doors and the drywall on the inside, fix some of that, but we may fix it temporarily ourselves to make it a little better and keep some of the burden.
Chief, if those doors become unoperational, you know, we'll have to do something. I don't want you to spend good money fixing old doors. So.
Right.
Yeah, we'll figure out a way to do But that's pretty much all we were able to cut out, which ended up being almost 20,000. So.
Okay.
I don't have any problems with what you've shown us, Mike. With the travel and training, we're not. I know you're going. You have all the certifications and all the stuff the guys need to do. I know you have that covered. Okay. I don't really have any questions.
Oh, good job.
Thank you, Chief.
So we.
Morning, Nikki.
Good morning.
And the Parks and Recreation is also on page 7 at the bottom.
Okay.
We were pretty close to last year's budget, so we trimmed a few items where we could. The part-time personnel brought that down just slightly. We had budgeted for 300 hours at $15 an hour, and Liz has been with us for, this is her fifth year, and we wanted to give her a little bump to 16 this year, and that would, so where we have it now is 275 hours at 16, but of course this could be largely affected by what events we even can have this summer. But, the Parks and Rec activity expense, the initial reduction in that one was a little conservative, where we took the market manager out, so I just bumped that up a little bit more to 4,500 total reduction in that one. Boogie in the Park, I took out a little bit the 4th of July weekend, or close to the weekend for the next couple seasons, so we won't be having a concert that weekend or Labor Day weekend, so we just bumped it down a little to cover for that. I removed Island Day completely. We haven't had that event since 2017. There's been talks of bringing it back, but that hasn't come to fruition yet. If it does come back, we can talk about it then. And the other town events, we've removed the DJ from the holiday market because we have our own sound equipment right now, and we've been doing music at the summer market, and that worked well, so it won't change the event. We'll brought that in-house as well. And those.
The part-time related expense, so is that, that's to help we get when we have people riding the carts back and forth and
yeah,
help?
Yeah, just
okay.
Have coverage at every event that we do.
Okay, for every event we have that. Okay. Alan?
Well, no questions.
Okay.
We have a lot cut there.
The liaison has no questions. I sure don't. Anybody else? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Nikki.
And I'll just say the other area that Nikki had was a community center. There were no changes to that budget. And then the building inspection is on slide number 8, at the top of slide 8.
So my budget's probably the only one that increased.
Of course.
Uh-huh. I didn't mean for that to happen, but I cut every bit of extra out of my budget and then had to add 5,000 for the new Historic Preservation Committee guidelines they want to produce. So mine actually increased by $1,158.
So with what's going on, is that something we're going to want to pursue this year?
What's that?
The Historic Preservation Committee?
Well, the will's already been motioned for it. So
this is starting in July, so I don't know what the wheels in motion mean, but this budget doesn't say.
Well, I mean, the process has started in Raleigh.
Okay.
So it's.
And but they, we don't have to pay for that, right?
No.
Right. That's what I'm asking. I mean.
Well, the argument I would make for it is, if we're going to do this, we need to do it in conjunction with the land use plan.
Okay.
So that would be my strongest argument for it.
That's fine. I'm just asking the question, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was $5,000.
And it may not be used.
Well, that's the
I think
part,
it's right? More just. Dalworth is always good with the planning part of it, and he always has an eye on the horizon.
Is there any benefit? And I don't know where it would be in the budgets. Is there any benefit to the fact that we're going to be having our own gas tank? Is there any idea how much that's going to save us, since we will not be purchasing retail gas? Or
that's really hard to say exactly how much. So we kind of reflect, every department reflects that like Public Works, Police, and Fire, you know, amounts for fuel for their, you know, equipment, trucks, and everything. So I think for the most part, we kind of kept that flat with current year. So
okay.
So we actually get a little bit of time under our belt to see what kind of maybe hopefully expense reduction we do have. But.
Okay.
Well, I think definitely. I mean, I'm talking to the gas guys, and they're like worried. So diesel's still being used all the trucks, right?
Yeah.
But at the refineries, diesel and aircraft's not being used and gas is not being used.
Right.
So the refineries are out of balance right now. And they're like filling up. That's why gas prices keep going down, because they got to make the diesel to get us our food. People aren't using the gas. So he was telling me, he's like, I don't know what's going to happen to gas prices because we're running out of place to put it. And they're like, we can't flare it off. We can't dump it to the river like the oil barons did originally with all this
stuff.
Right. Said, so we're talking about renting tankers just to put gasoline in it because we're going to be full. When you start looking at all the stuff that's getting impacted, so I don't know what factor all the department has used for gas, but I guarantee that we'll spend less next year probably, unless the world changes, then we factored, which is fine. It's not going to be that much, but it's just a positive in there. I don't know how to tell you to change your numbers, Arlen. I don't know what to say, but I'm just saying that the gas guys are like, we don't know what to do about gasoline right now.
And we pretty much look at history, usage history over the last couple of years.
Yeah, we're going to use the same amount, I think, because we're going to do the same services probably, or close, but I just think that the price is, 10% less, 20% less. I don't know what factor to use from last year.
Well,
so pick your conservative one. And
I would have one piece of advice for the gas companies. If they pick the national gas standard at 25 cents a gallon, they could store a full tank in every car across the United States. They wouldn't have to spend any money.
It only works once, so you still got
to
diesel.
I know that.
That's
know
what
that.
We're talking about.
It may save them a couple hundred thousand tankers.
I mean, there are some pipelines that are at 30% right now. Mm. That's how low they are. And I mean, it's just amazing. You see it on College Road, although it doesn't feel like it, but if you drive College Road a lot, it's a lot different than it normally is, for sure. Cool. I mean, sidetracked this place.
Yeah.
It's not a huge impact, Arlen, but
it's something we could look at. I think each department's budget for fuel was about the same as last year. So
yeah.
Well, we could look at, potentially,
just 10% down, 10%, I think, was about realistic.
The bad thing is the first year when you're implementing a new program, we really don't know. It's kind of like we didn't know what our utility cost, for example.
Well, no. Well, that's what I'm saying. If you just take 10% from last year, between our tank and the fact that the market is messed up, I think that's realistic.
Right.
I mean, Corning's using a lot more than 10% on their fuel stuff right now, but because of the issue. So I think 10% is reasonable. I don't think it's huge money, but every penny's a penny in the budgeting process.
But also, too, we take a gamble every year on gas prices of where they're going to be.
Exactly right.
So
yeah.
No different, whether it's going to be coming down or the years that the gas prices are showing and we didn't have the money budget. You really don't know how to handle that sometimes.
Okay. John, maybe you mentioned it and I just missed it. The computer service support, why is that heading up?
That was a mistake that I made on my previous budget. I've been using money from other areas in my budget to cover my computer services. Mistake I made.
Okay. So were you moving it from other areas of your budget?
Basically,
so it's a net.
I took it out of another area. And
okay. All right. So this particular line item is up 3, but somewhere in these other reductions.
It's been costing that for the last
okay.
couple years.
Understand. So, Joe, you're the liaison. Where are you on this?
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you,
John.
So, Jimmy, you want to go on that? Since you're on this slide also, I guess. So.
Okay.
So, streets and sanitation at the bottom of slide 8.
Streets and sanitation? Good morning, Council.
Good morning, Jim.
The cuts that I've made is, I mean, it's significant, but once again, you know, I'm almost bleeding now. But maintenance of buildings, I cut $2,000. Contract with landfill, I cut $22,000. The reason I had, what was it, 150 something thousand or 140,000? I was trying to put enough money in there for the hurricanes that we've been having in the past few years, and going back on some of the hysterical spending that you know we normally have. Doing the free pickup this year is going to really help out on the
complimentary, not free.
Complimentary,
not free.
Exactly. Thank you.
Courtesy. There you go. Thank you. There you go.
Yeah.
Not free.
The landfill, I cut by $22,000.
Okay.
We may have to come back on it, you know, according to a storm or whatever.
Are they saying anything after what's happening with all the restaurants and stuff being closed? Are they seeing a decrease where you don't really get reports from them?
I really don't get a proportion, but I mean, I actually don't have the increase from them yet for this year, but I'm sure it's going to go up like anything else. Computer services, I split 25% went to streets and sand, and 75% went to water and sewer, which decreased the computer service from $600 to $900 on streets and sand. But the maintenance of the building, I was looking at some of the lights and stuff downtown at the pavilion. And, you know, some of them may need to be replaced, but, you know, hopefully we'll make it through this year without having to do anything. All it takes is a light bulb, and, you know, we're over $2,000.
And that computer service support, is that CityWorks software that before was 100% budgeted in the water and sewer fund? So Jimmy and I talked about it. We thought, maybe, you know, a reasonable number for the general fund was 25% of that.
Yeah, I think so, because, I mean, you're going to get work orders for the streets. I mean, they're sort of most of the street issues are sewer related a bit, I think, but there's still some, and then some even will be stormwater work orders as well, and tracking, cleaning of all the stormwater systems. So I think that's a good, reasonable breakout.
Any questions on streets and sand?
The computer service, is it the same, same issue that John had? You're actually just using the money from other accounts, or
yes, sir. You know, actually, this is going to be a new item that we're installing.
Yeah, that's a software.
Yeah.
Okay. David, your liaison. You got any other questions here?
Yeah, I think we're good. Jimmy's done a good job of looking through and trying to pull back while still meeting the service requirements. So I think that's exactly what we asked him to do.
But in total, we cut $17,364 on street to sale.
No other questions for Jimmy?
So we can have other departments. finish general fund, or while Jimmy's up there, we can skip. He's also water and sewer and storm.
Okay.
Probably have a pretty good conversation about what sewer can give you that mind for the rest of the general fund.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm good with that.
Good morning, Mandy.
Good morning. For administration, I froze my position for the year. Instead of trying to do it halfway through the year, I just felt like with everything going on with the current situation with the virus, I didn't know where we would be. So I just froze it for the year. So that affected, of course, any of the personnel-related costs, telephone, line item as well. And then for professional consulting fees, I cut the fees down by half for the safety consultant, still leaving a little bit in there, and then I have also money built in for pre-screening for employment, drug testing, and the DOT stuff. But so overall for administration, I cut $30,608.
So are you confident with the safety thing? You'll be able to meet the requirements,
mm-hmm.
all of our requirements with all the departments, and you feel like the we're back on track with where we need to be mm-hmm. on all the safety. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just concerned about that. We don't want to shortcut that. If the department heads aren't confident that we have moved the program to where it should be based on the requirements from the state and federal government, we don't want to cut that out of your budget. So that's my only input.
Well, part of the money that was in there, and the reason I cut that part in half, because it was just in there as a safety net in the event we needed to bring her back for something. So I still have money to bring her back for consulting, but not for like if we had a case come up or something like that.
We had OSHA inspection to go, and we need some type of fees or something, or we would need her services for something. That's basically what.
No, I'm fine if it's external, but if it's, you know, she identified requirements that we weren't
right.
meeting. And I know there's been a lot of work because I've been in some of the training sessions. I just want to make sure the department heads as a leadership team feel comfortable that we're meeting the requirements and the safety team that you guys fit, we're where we need to be on safety, right? And that's important to our employees, and it's a liability issue for the town. So if you guys are comfortable, I'm fine. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, she's actually working with Meredith and I to actually kind of take this on ourselves in our department.
Okay.
So hers is definitely more of a consultation type thing going forward after we finish this contract with her.
Okay.
And so that money was in the event we needed to bring her back for a case
right.
or something like that. So we did leave some money in there for her for some continued consultation for us to
right.
be able to manage everything.
Okay. I mean, you know, you're cutting out your consultant, and you're cutting out your full-time position a bit, so I don't want us overloaded in safety stuff, because that's what can happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want us to get back where we felt we were, right? If we made all this good progress, we want to stay there.
And I do have the other half of that in water fund as well, so
okay.
I still have a little there.
Okay.
The other thing, so for the other part of my budget would be legal.
Which is also on the bottom of that slide 6.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So after talking with my liaison about how to estimate this out, I was told a 1.5%, kind of the same way we were doing COLA.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. And so my original budget was $27,879 for general fund, and we dropped it $8,716.
That is in a shared fund, right?
That's just general fund.
Just general fund.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be the exact same reduction on the
water
and sewer fund. So.
And that was changed to the raises. The same raise for everywhere, that's the strategy, right? The compensation thing. So,
it would be essentially the same cost of living that the staff is getting.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, Andy, I know you're on the line. Did you catch that? Can we send that to him separately and then, maybe not at this meeting, but he's got a time to reply back to council about that input? So, Andrew, you might be...
Andrew, you have to get voted.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So I asked that Mandy, she was given direction, which impacted this one. I asked her if she could email it to you so you could review it and then separately correspond to council on your thoughts about that. Basically, it changed your request to the same cost of living and merit increases as the rest of the employees. I know that there's been some time, so she'll email it to you separately so you can see it, and then you can correspond to council so we can talk about it the next one.
Actually, David, it's just COLA at this point.
Okay.
Just COLA.
Okay.
And I'll just throw out, this typically is our last meeting before it's formally presented at the May council.
Well, then if we can email it after this, and you get time to look at it, and at the end, if you want to talk.
I'll email it.
And,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, and if you have concerns, you can email them to council specifically. If you don't want to, if you want to do it that way, that's fine. We'll just have to make sure that Arlen can work with council on that as an input. It's a one line item input, so I think that should be fine. Right or wrong? Is that okay with council? Is that fair for council?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
So, other thing is governing body. I don't have any, well, the contributions went down by 2,000, so there was a decrease there for $2,000. And I've also given each of you information on other towns' salaries for council. If you guys just want to give me feedback on that at some point.
So we have the details for a governing body? Because is the health center still in or out in this?
It is in. What you ended up last time was keeping exactly what it was for this current year. So the health center is in there for $1,500. So it kept us exactly in line with the current year.
And that'll be paid to them in July?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. We've already made one $1,500, we made it in July, also in July of 2019.
Okay, yeah, because I spoke to someone from the health center the other day, and right now they're fine. Things are just kind of ebbing and flowing. They have a lot, then everything disappears, and they wait for contributions. And they're very appreciative of what we're doing with the box out front.
I've seen quite a few people walk by that door with bags.
I've seen a couple people doing
Mandy, when you do send them that note, also send me the information on the other town attorney fees that you have at the bottom here.
Okay.
So I am looking at the... at the council costs. So the total council cost is the 36.27 and the 24 times 3, right?
For you guys?
Yes.
Your total salary cost is 6,800 total.
Okay.
And that doesn't include your vehicle and
right, the gas and the cell phone allowance. So when we look at that, so what is the, okay, not necessarily checking. So I'm looking at other towns that are the same size. Off the top of my head, I don't see anything totally out of, I mean, you guys looking at this? Give me your opinions.
Well, I'll start off. So, as much as we would like to have increase and as much work as we all do, I just don't feel like this is the right time to do it.
No. I'm just one vote.
That's right. So,
we've asked our department heads to cut. We're going to have to ask our citizens to step up on some other areas. No tax increase, but some other areas. And I'm just not sure this is the right year to do it.
So, okay. I'm fine with Alan, but I would say that we should tell him, one, I'm very concerned that the last election was uncompetitive. No one signed up, right? I know this current council is a great council, but at least two or three of us are considering that this is our last time for different reasons, right? Either professional reasons or we've done it enough, right? And so while I'm fine with this time because there's not an election this fall, next year there will be an increase, in my opinion, because if people aren't going to do it, if you look across the country, service is going down. The town needs good people up here. And if,
but how much would we have to increase
it? I don't know.
To generate that kind of interest?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's never going to be billions, but, you know, if you just look at the last 2 months, time-wise, I mean, some of us are 50 cents an hour, probably, you know, for the work we've done. And I'll tell you, 50 cents an hour, pretty disheartening. If I can't buy enough beer to drink for the work we're doing, then for me, that means that it's, and I'm fine with not this year, but next year, we'll definitely be pushing the budget.
Well,
that's my input. So I'm okay with that in this year.
I mean, John, where are you?
I would actually be, I may be in a little bit of a
position. Sorry, can you speak into your mic? Because people on my phone can't hear you. Sorry.
I may be in a different position than some of you younger guys, in that with my retirement and things, life is really good. If we needed to help out, I would provoke passion and contribute to the overall situation. But I certainly wouldn't personally support a raise for the five of us.
Okay. How about you, Joseph?
I agree with everything we've done. I will say, I think since Hurricane Florence, the first couple of years we were on council, we definitely had some downtime. You know, the winter, December, January, February, but I think since Florence, this has been a very active, very motivated council with everything that we've done. I do think a raise would be warranted for the amount of work we put in, but and with everything else going on this year, I agree, this year is not the year. But David is right. If next year's election, with potentially some people not running again, I think there needs to be a better incentive to get, hopefully, a competitive race out there.
So it sounds like the will of council is that things stand, and I support that. I'm not sure how many people are on the phone, but from the perspective of, I think David was gracious at 50 cents an hour. I know that at my salary, I cost every citizen $1.90 a year. So, and each one of these gentlemen is less. I'm the highest paid. So from that perspective, I can understand that for the demands, for the press, for the exposure, mostly not positive, right? And that this is not an easy position. So I respect that the guys are willing to continue to go forward where we sit, as we have for quite a few years now. So we will not be adding anything to the council salaries or expenses. Thank you for doing the work, Mandy.
Okay, do you want me to wait and do the...
So then the last area is finance, which is also on page 6. So there's the retirement reduction, like for same as everyone else. The other thing that I did, which affects the general fund and the water sewer fund, is to delay new financial software. So that reduces this budget by $55,000. You know, will our software, you know, go a little longer? Unless something really unusual happens, yes, it will. So, you know, to delay it by a year, I think is fine. Again, looking for ways to cut this budget, you know, that was one major contribution that you know, could be made at this point in time. So.
Was software not going to be financed, though? So, you were going to buy it expensive? Did you consider financing it?
Well, instead it's of hard to it finance out? It because a lot of it is like
can't hear
maintenance costs.
Oh, I'm sorry. I asked the finance officer if he could consider financing the capital software versus expense scan.
Well, it just gets a little bit difficult. I could try to finance that. You know, part of it is that it would be over a fairly short period of time.
Right.
Because I think a lot of times the useful life software is, you know, 3 to 5 years is what's usually estimated.
So. Okay.
And then a lot of it is like maintenance type fees also, rather than actually buying something. You know, you don't really have a true, you know, like when you go out and buy a car, you have the car as collateral. With the software, it's not exactly the same.
And then what features will you not have that you were going to get with the upgrade?
It's just been probably making our processes more efficient, bringing things up to date. Our system is very old, very antiquated on the operating system that it's built on. So I, you know, we could probably see definitely efficiency improvements. Also, maybe some more enhanced capabilities for our residents, you know, in regard to payment processes, but. Again, I'm looking at it as it is, you know, if we wait one more year, isn't going to hurt right at this point.
Okay.
I mean, we also have some weird things with our software. If we need to print checks, for example, and let's say there's a storm and we're not here in this building for whatever reason or out of this building for a period of time, it's extremely difficult, if not impossible, to actually print checks. We have to have a printer right here on the town network in order to actually print checks to pay vendors. It doesn't affect our payroll because that is all online and all with direct deposit, but it does hinder our ability to actually print checks.
About what percent of our vendors are check paid versus they can take direct deposit or online or PayPal or whatever?
We probably at least 80 to 85% of our vendors are check.
Are we still trying to convert them over?
Where it makes sense, we definitely have converted over to electronic payments. So.
Okay.
Are you sure, Arlen, you want to do this?
Well, again, I'm looking at everybody else has contributed. When I look at my budget, there's a lot of like regulatory things in my budget. A lot of other, you know, whether it's payroll processing fees or banking fees, things that can't really be cut because they're pretty much, you know, budgeted at a level that, you know, we expect to incur, so and things we can't do without. So if I look at something that's a little bit more discretionary in the finance budget for this current year, it's the software. But so, you know, I put that out on the table. It's really then, you know, council's decision on, you know, whether they want to agree to that cut or you know, delaying it for another year. But I think we can do that. There's just those couple of risks, in particular the check printing that I mentioned. So, but that's a risk we've had for the last 10 plus years also.
Yep.
I'm wondering if there'd be a grant opportunity for small towns. We may have to look at that, but I respect your effort to contribute. That's a pretty important step.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Arlen and I talked about it, and I'm not real. We're going to have to do this at some point.
Right.
And we've had one justification or another every year to hold it off, whether it was getting the meter reading software up or the move back here up and running. And now we've got this situation. I applaud Arlen for saying he can do without it. Want to give one more year. We're going to have to do it sooner than later. Mm-hmm. Well, but I'll go along with the recommendation. I think it's
okay.
What we have to do.
I've got one important question for you. I'm sure you've considered it. If our current software goes down, it's ancient, do we have support to bring it up?
Yes, we still pay an annual maintenance fee on it, so we have support, which has been, you know, very good up to this point. We consider, okay, you know, wouldn't expect that to change over the next year. So I think,
okay,
that's covered. And that's budgeted. All we did here is to, you know, that's a maintenance payment for the upcoming year.
Okay, I think this is your call, Arlen, and respect you for stepping up for it. Anybody else have any questions for Arlen?
You think software will be more expensive next year? Has it been pretty stable?
It's been pretty stable. Yeah, you know, I'm sure it'll be a little bit more next year. And my number here is just an estimate at this point anyway, not knowing exactly which, you know, software vendor we would go with. But yeah, that is a possibility. It'll be a little more expensive next year.
Well, I think as we move forward, you know, we're making a pretty constrained budget, but what I would like is that at least you continue pursuing reviewing the software, and then in the fall, if things are better for the town, we could do a budget amendment and you could get it. Because, one, the best time to put in software in the town is in the winter anyway, I think, just because of so much stuff going on.
Yeah, you're exactly right, because they're fitting it in between, like, the annual audit, the budget process.
Exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. So while I'm fine with us taking out initially, I think you should continue your moving forward on it and then request a budget amendment in the fall so that it meets the calendar timing. If the economy's in a better place, I think council will be open to that budget amendment, and we take it out of the general fund savings to do it and then cover it the following year. So while I'm fine with us taking out a budget, I think my input would be continue evaluating your software and get your decision and bring it back to us in the fall. If conditions have changed, I think council would definitely want you to do that. And that puts us back in the rhythm of the calendar when to implement as well. So I wouldn't stop your investigation part of the process, because I think council would be open to doing a budget amendment for this in the late fall if the economy is better. Does that make sense? Does that seem reasonable?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because
yeah.
I think we want you to have it, because there's some synergy between the new water meter system and this, and then when you said that it gives potentially better pay options to the citizens, because the ones that pay online are paying a huge penalty to that company we're using because we're so small. I mean, if you look at what Duke Power upcharges for online payment versus what our water bill is, it's 10 times as much. And it aggravates me every year, but I pay online. I mean, every month, but I pay online, right? So I like that to get cheaper for all of our citizens. And it helps you guys pay online versus checks out there anyway, so.
I'm good, sir. Anybody else? Okay, Arlen, thank you.
So one of the other areas I was covering is committees, so you also see that on page 6. Basically, as of the last meeting, really just had input from Shoreline Access Committee. Since then, we also have some a request from the Bike Pedestrian Committee. So what you see there is, I had rounded the Shoreline Access a little bit, so I brought it back to the actual amount of their request, so $1,870. Then the request received after the last meeting from the Bike Pedestrian Committee was for $2,500, and that was $1,500 of committee training, and then $500 of signage, and $500 for public education.
And I did meet with Mo over the telephone about this and come up with these numbers. There's a conference that's like some of the members to go to that really cutting edge stuff, really does good things about bicycle pedestrian safety throughout the state. And I think she got a grant last year through the WMPO Bike Ped Committee to go, but it didn't cost us last year, so, and it was valuable information. This is just a guess we made. I mean, the honest that they haven't had their first committee meeting since we formed the committee, so it's just kind of a shot in the dark.
Do you know when the conference is? Because conferences are getting canceled everywhere. I mean, I'm fine.
Well, it's typically like in the late fall, so they haven't sent out registration stuff yet. It's like October, November. Yeah. Like.
Okay. See what happens with that conference.
Mm-hmm. So I will say the overall committee budget, even when you look at the addition for the bike pedestrian committee, it's still less than the committee budget from last year, if that makes sense. So last year's budget was about right around $5,000. So this year the grand total budget is like $4,300.
No.
Okay.
So that kind of, I'll just step back to slide number five. So this, that summarizes what we just talked about with all the different departments. The grand total of expense reductions was $236,375 from the last budget session.
So our shortage is $38,478.
Correct.
For this portion of the budget.
Yes, for the general fund. But you know, we can kind of move on to what we want to do with this fund, or we could just finish the. Also move on to the water and sewer and talk about that one a little bit, and then move to what could be our possible options for all of the funds.
Yeah.
However you would like to do it, is fine with me.
I would like to see the other fund to see what the total shortfall is.
Okay.
Because we're still of a mind for no tax increase.
Mm-hmm. So if we go to slide number nine, that is the water and sewer fund. And again, with this, I started out with what was our shortage at the last meeting, which was $141,678. We actually have net reduction in expenses of $119,550, and then a little bit of a reduction in projected investment earnings. So bottom line is we still have a shortage of about $23,863. I'll talk about this a little bit later when we talk about rates, but I'm even concerned about that number even more after a Zoom meeting that I participated in yesterday in regard to what the projections are for decreases in water and sewer revenue. Because of this and what everybody's saying. And I know for us, we don't have a lot of commercial industrial customers that are going to significantly impact some other towns, but we will have a reduction in, regarding short-term rentals. So even some of what I'm estimating for water and sewer revenue, I'm not sure it's going to materialize or not. Mm-hmm. So that we could be even looking at a, more significant shortage than that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we want to go through the same process as what we did for the general fund, letting the department heads. It's really, legal was exactly the same. Mandy talked about that, and it was the town attorney retainer reduction. Finance is the exact same, which was the other half of the software. Administration is exactly the same thing because those expenses were split between general fund and general fund. So really the only other one is water sewer operations. Jimmy, I don't know if he wants to talk about what he's changed in regard to
his. Do you have a page number to look at for that?
That will be page 10.
So Jimmy, just the capital outlay, I guess, is the biggest item.
Okay.
You already talked about building maintenance, and you talked about the computer stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I talked to the supervisors that I have under me, and we tried to figure out what was the least most important maintenance we could possibly cut. Mm-hmm. And we come up with the gator that we had put in for $15,000.
So you're going to get another year out of
what you got? Yes, year.
So you'll get another year out of the Gators we have?
Yes, sir. We'll repair what we have right now and make it through another year. The computer software decreased by $6,900 by transferring some of the costs over to streets and sand. And like I said, the maintenance of the building, I decreased it by $3,000. That's due to I was wanting to get some new roofs put on some of the lift stations and stuff that's been on there for several years. Any questions?
Yeah. I think it's I think those are good cuts, no risk to the service levels. Okay.
So then on page 11, this just summarizes all the funds where we are right now based on everything we just discussed. And you see the shortage for the general fund, water and sewer fund, the stormwater fund, we're not really going to go through details of basically where it was before.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a slightly higher than what it was, only because reduced the estimate for investment earnings a little bit more on the fund also.
And so that still doesn't have, it has a small placeholder for projects, but not anything for the ILDS inputs.
Correct. Yeah, very small placeholder.
Okay. Similar to the previous years.
Correct.
And if we did any big projects, that would most likely be a capital project with them anyway, so it would be financed through showed up on both sides. Do you think or
it
not?
It depends what it is. I mean, right. Some of the things are hard to finance. For example, like when we did all the pipe relining,
mm-hmm.
significant expenditure, very significant, hard to finance that.
Why is that? The banks just don't like a loan on that?
Right, because it's the collateral that you can put up, because you were just putting a lining in an existing pipe or whatever. So,
Okay.
I'm not saying we couldn't have gotten it, but it wouldn't be as easy as, again, when you're going out to buy a piece of equipment or build a building.
Well, it's good to know, but I think with this budget process that we're working on, and I know you still have to recognize in the stormwater fee how you're paying for stuff, whether you're financed or not, but it changes the numbers a bit. You do it over time, right? So you don't have to try to make it all in one year. I think we're still working through that process. COVID has definitely slowed both Jimmy and I down with all the other stuff that's going on. So I don't know how to put a placeholder in there for this budget right now because we don't have the projects identified completely.
I do have some information, you know, we can skip to that now too, just some thoughts on the stormwater fund.
Well, I don't want to skip around too much. It's just you start talking about it, so that's where I was.
Okay.
I'll go whichever way you want to go, but just for council, we just got to realize we don't have great information on that particular one, and it's mostly because COVID has slowed down both their consulting firm and then just the bandwidth that Jimmy and I have to work on so many things. So whichever, go wherever you want to go. If you want to go there now, we can do that, or however you want to do it, Arnold.
I'll leave that up to, I can skip around here with different things. I have things in different sections, so I
believe here, we can.
What I have on the next few slides really just is what we covered last time, just updated for today, the details right. on each department.
Well, let's close the general fund first and give you a strategy.
Right.
But then we'll go to the water fund. Then we'll do the stormwater fund last. How's that work?
That's what I was going to recommend. Let's deal with the general fund and fix this.
So I'll skip to slide 26. And it's just some other things before we can actually kind of finalize the general fund, I guess. It's some other things that we're left open. And I'll start with the first one, which is, you know, currently there is no transfer from the general fund to the beach protection fund. That was a fund set up about 7 years ago, so I have to show the history of those transfers on the slide 26. You can see we've had a wide range from as high as 103,000 to as low as basically 9,800. It's not something that we're required to contribute to either, so it's not like we have to have a transfer. It's just the main funding source for this fund. So right now, this budget does not include a transfer. So, I guess one thing is whether you want to transfer any funds to the Beach Protection Fund this year.
Right. Well, just for council's memory, right, this was started by the councils in 2014. Actually, I think it was a little before that, but 2014 was the first year we actually put money in, correct?
I think that was the year we started it.
Yeah. And so this was, the pressure was really on and continues to be on beach renourishment funding. And a couple of things happened that started this. One, a county commissioner said that Curie Beach wasn't putting any money in towards this because we didn't have paid parking, which is not correct, but that was the initial comments by a county commissioner that got the council considering this issue. And then both the state and federal governments were very iffy on where they were going to be on beach renourishment funding, which is probably about the same place they still are, although the county has done a great job of adding in basically professional consultants that are helping us ensure that that funding is stable. But every year it's a fight. And so this was Curie Beach's way of making sure we could demonstrate we are participating, right? So we're basically transferring some money into a fund that's designated for beach protection, which could be used for beach renourishment. We've never used it for that, but we could also use it for sand fencing or other things basically around beach protection.
Right.
So that's what the fund's generated for. We haven't ever had to use it.
We used one small amount back in the very beginning. I think we had to bulldoze some sand.
So we did.
Yeah, we had.
So it's been used one time after a storm. Thank you, Your Honor, for reminding me. To move sand on the beach. I think it's important that we still signal, but I think the amount's not so much as we have a good history of it, so I'm comfortable with being a little amount, but we shouldn't go to zero.
Well, what's the total in the account right now?
I'm not sure right off the top of my head, but I'll give a rounded estimate of, let's say $350,000.
Yep. About $350,000. We also use that as the money until FEMA cash comes in when we do cleanups. Isn't that correct?
No, not for
now.
No,
we don't use it from here.
That money's coming out of like the general fund, yeah. Sewer fund.
Okay.
We can't put enough money into the beach protection fund to do major projects, but we do need to try to make some type of progress.
Right. I think it's more signaling that we're invested to the county commissioners and the legislatures than, we can pay for it all. And so what I would say is we look at the lowest year, which is 2019, 9,800, and cut that in half, or even less. But just my input to council is it should not be zero. It can be really small, because then we can say, look, even in the bad years we're doing this, I'm fine if it's, $2,000 or $3,000. But I encourage council not to go to zero on this one, because it really helps Layton and the other people when people are saying anything about what we're doing. Because this one is one I've talked to him multiple times on. Look, if you ever need to know, call Arlen and look at the history of what we've been doing. So we haven't just done nothing. And I think that's important to signal.
Oh, I agree with that.
So I'm okay with whatever placeholder council's comfortable with, but I need you to follow.
Substantial. Right. Anything less than that, maybe have the opposite effect.
So recommendation is... What do you recommend, Joe? 5,000?
5,000.
How do council feel about that?
I'm supportive. Half of our lowest.
Yeah.
Okay, Arnold, let's put $5,000 into the beach fund.
And I know that makes your problem harder,
yep.
Arlen, but this one's one that we just got to help our guys out, right? This helps them. And it's great having this kind of history, too. It shows we've got 7 years of participating, thinking about it. So when it finally does become a problem, we show we've been thinking about it for a long time.
And most of that money is invested. So there's the other part of it is again, unfortunately, it's lesser than prior years because of interest rates, but the investments that the money that it's invested in. So there's also about another $3,000 of projected investment earnings for that on that too. So.
Okay. Okay, I got 38, 478, and 5. So what else do you got to ask us here? Next page?
Yeah, then page 27. The other thing that this budget doesn't include is a contingency. I think the fact that we're kind of in a shortage situation right now, I'm not sure that we really need a contingency or should do a contingency, because by doing that, all we're really doing is saying that we're going to use some of our savings in the event of an unplanned situation, because that's where this contingency would be coming from. So we could go ahead and set that aside and say, here's our contingency, or if a situation arises, we do a budget amendment and actually at that point appropriate some of the fund balance at that point in time rather than actually.
I would rather do it in our budget, because if that contingency arises, oh, you guys are now reacting. I mean, that's just my input from to council. You know, if someone looks, the legislature's fighting, we get emails from Layton saying there's a problem, I need data, and then we do a action, I don't think that is as strong as, look, we were preparing ahead.
I'd rather it be there.
Yeah.
Available.
I appreciate your trying to keep our flexibility, but I think we made the amount small enough that I think we just transfer it over, and then there's no arguing that Curie Beach was being foresightful, as opposed to playing games at the last minute to try to cover something.
How do the others feel?
Well, contingency is nothing more than the money we were pulling out of our fund balance to put in the budget. So it's tip for tap, really. So.
Well, if you put it in the budget, you have to count for it.
It's not coming out of your fund. It's kind of like revenue that's coming in, but excess revenue, I guess, that's coming in. That's why I was just making a comment.
But we don't know that there's going to be excess revenue.
Well, we already show here that that's not the case. So we're already in a shortage situation.
Right.
So, but you can go ahead. I mean, it's fine to do that. Say, here's, we still want to have a contingency. It's just kind of the source for that contingency is savings.
It's an appropriation for both of
them. I think that's what we're going to end up doing, I think, right, to close the budget this year, which I've been opposed to my entire council career, but I think this is the one time where, okay, you gotta do the right thing.
Yeah.
Right.
So on slide 20, I put the history over the last 7 years of what our contingency's been.
27.
And again, it's been as high as 184,000, as low as 9,800, 9,850. So it's really varied based on kind of what was available in the during the budget process. So it was, and the most it could be is 5% of your general fund expected expenditures.
Yeah. I think
a good number.
What are you gonna do?
Well, you go first. No,
I was gonna say, I mean, it's nothing more than a placeholder if we need it. We're not going to spend it unless we need it, so why not put like $20,000 just to come out of our fund balance?
Well, that's my point is, since we're not looking at a tax increase, we're looking at a transfer, we're going to take the actions that are required when they occur, so I put zero there, right? So 2019, I like that you have the history of what we actually did. That's really nice. So in 2019, we didn't spend it. I would say we plan to not spend any contingency this year, and then when it comes up, it's going to be a fund balance transfer anyways, not in the budget. So I wouldn't make the budget look worse than it is.
I mean,
because that is coming from the same place, but why budget for it? We just wait until it happens, right? So if the software that we talked about earlier in the meeting for finance, the financial environment was better for the town in the fall, and Arlen gets a good deal and it's going to make things, we're going to move stuff over. So I would just put zero in this budget, you know, and expect that it's a austerity budget, just like 2019, we're not going to use it.
I missed your point, David. I thought you were talking about we needed to make sure we put something in there, not zero.
Hold it up. No, I'm fine with zero this time.
So,
I mean, historically, we show one year we didn't use it at all. So, okay, why won't we repeat that in a bad year?
Mm-hmm. Any others before I make a comment here? So,
take a shortfall. We got a shortfall right now, so we got to figure out where it's going to come from.
That's right. So, John, any nothing to add? Joseph. Okay, I'm of a mind that we should not exacerbate the number, so the number should be zero, and we will take actions if the revenue materializes, and we need to. Is that where council is?
Well, but there again, we're going to have to approve any expenditure out of it anyway, mm-hmm. So whether it's coming from within the budget or from the general fund or from the fund balance, it's the same.
Yeah, it is. That's why I'm saying we had a year with zero, put zero in there right now.
I thought we were down the road, but put some in there.
That's how I interpreted what you said.
Well, this is contingency. No. This is not the future.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But
I'm okay either way. I don't have a strong position. I'm okay either way,
I actually do have a strong position. I want it to be zero.
Okay, cool.
And that's just not to exacerbate the number, and we're going to solve the rest.
Right, because it's not a required line item.
Right.
And it's also, as you're discussing, what would end up happening is you're going to increase your deductions from savings or appropriation from savings.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, and it kind of, in the end, doesn't really accomplish anything.
That's where my position is, right? That's where I am. So,
okay, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, is the consensus zero for this line item, so we all have to move forward?
Where are we? Yeah, is it zero?
Yep. You good with that?
You guys okay with zero?
Sure. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, good.
There you go. Thanks, Arlen. What else you got for us?
So, one other thing that we didn't really talk about last time, I'll let Ed add anything he would like, but he had looked at what our fire inspection fee was in relation to some other towns. And it looked like ours was a little bit low. It's currently at $45. It looked like a more typical amount was $65. So it was just putting that out there, whether it's something we want to go ahead and increase. I mean, we're not going to see a huge increase in revenue, as you see. It's the estimated increase in town revenue will be about $1,300. But just throwing out that out there, it's again, since Ed had done that work to do that, get that comparative information.
So are these inspection fees on new homes? Or where are these exactly?
The commercial businesses. And multifamily units over four.
Okay. Is this what you would like to do, Ed?
Well, we felt John was taking a look at his fees this year as well, that it would be in line at the same time. With it being a down year as well, we hadn't looked at the fees in quite a while, so I simply made a phone call to Carolina Beach to see what they were doing. They were charging $65 for the first. I believe it was $100 for a second fee, which they had stated.
Hard to hear.
They had stated that they hardly ever have to use that. And I spoke with Steve Wally, our fire inspector, and although we do re-inspections from time to time, it's general practice to not charge them on the second go as long as they fix the violation.
So
we thought it was a good time at least to take a good look at it, since the building inspector was redoing some of his fees, to be in line with that as well.
Is that an annual inspection?
Yes, it is.
My only concern with this one is all the businesses are closed and not making any revenues right now. I don't know that increasing their fees is very helpful with any of them. I mean, they've been closed for 4 weeks now, most of them. Frey's is the only one that's still open at this point.
Yeah, I can't say whether I agree nor disagree. It was just we have looked at it.
No, I appreciate his recommendation. You guys are doing the right thing. That's just my input. Right now, with this year, they're going to be struggling, I think, is my belief.
How do the others feel? John?
I haven't changed the way he's saying.
Yeah, I would leave it for this year.
All right. Thanks, Alan. Joseph?
I'm fine with it.
Clearly, $65 is warranted, but I would agree with David and the rest of the council that this year we will hold that flat. Bring it back, though, because if our neighbors are at 65 and 100 and you're at 45 for however many, you certainly deserve more compensation for that. Not this year, but bring it back. Thanks, Eddie.
Yes, sir.
Did you have the $1,300 in the revenue line or no?
No.
Okay, thank you.
And then I think building inspector, I know John was trying to get information about other town buildings, and I think that pretty much came to a halt with everything that's gone on. So I think at this point, that also would be something that we try to do at a different point in time, whether it be waiting another year for the next budget cycle or something in between, because I think the building fees are something that could be changed at any point in time during the year.
Yeah, we can take an action on fees at any time. This may not be the right time. I mean, what's your opinion, Council?
I agree with that. I think we should hold our fees.
Joseph?
I guess.
Okay.
So this is fees for new construction, correct?
Yes, sir.
And we're way out of line, you think, with other municipalities?
No, we're pretty much in line.
Oh, we're in line. Okay. So you see it. I'm sorry. I lost track and I apologize. So, yeah, thank you for coming up so people can hear your answers, John, before we get berated again. So we're in line, but low, in line, but high. I know I saw the data, and I apologize, but it's not in my head right now. Where do you think we are?
I believe we're pretty much in line with the surrounding municipalities. Once again, my concerns are for the redevelopment in the future years as far as stormwater and infrastructure use increases with the larger houses. So I don't think we necessarily have to look at that right now, but I think we should very soon.
Well, so this is one that I don't know that I'm going to agree with you guys on. So this is someone that's doing well enough they can buy property and redevelopment. If that's one that the building inspector's concerned, that doesn't impact the people that are here right now doing stuff right now. That's more demand on our services for stormwater and more concerns that we're already concerned about. So I think the fee should represent what our experts recommend. This is only one that impacts someone reinvesting, so they're already doing better than everyone else. And I think that was one I would be open.
Yeah, but we don't have a proposal in front of us. What would we go to if our increase?
Right. I mean, I think that's part of the problem right now is because of the current situation.
Okay.
We just don't have enough of the data yet.
Okay.
So then, something that may come at a little, maybe after this budget is implemented or approved, that it may be something.
So it's upside. Right. Okay, I understand. Sorry.
Well, I can certainly put something together too for what I think it is, but I think you guys definitely want to see what other municipalities are doing.
So the other thing is, these fees can be changed after the budget as well, right? Or unlike the property tax rate.
Correct.
Okay. And I think you should work on that and bring it to council the right thing, but I think for budget reasons. I'm with you. Sorry, thanks, Alan. Yeah, I called up to you and Joe. Sorry, I'm slow today on some things. I'll get another cup of coffee at our first break.
I'm just about ready for that. So what is the will of council on that?
I agree with Joe and Alan to hold constant in this budget.
John?
I agree with you. Believe you.
Okay, there's the answer.
Okay. Well, then we can move on to slide 29. Really talking about, okay, what actions do we take to, you know, reduce the shortage that we currently have? And there I put that the shortage is $38,478. Well, we've added $5,000 to that, so we're going to add $5,000 onto that shortage right now. We added the $5,000 for the transfer to the beach protection fund. We're really at $43,478. So I listed out, and there could be combination of these things or any other suggestions that anybody has, but how do we address that shortage? I mean, we could look for further expense reductions.
How do we, refresh me on municipal code, how do we handle capital equipment, vehicles?
What we typically do on vehicles is we finance, so any vehicles that are in this budget,
they're financed and they're just in the debt service.
Well, and the debt service really, because we do annual debt payments for most cases, the debt service would not occur until the next budget cycle, not even what we're looking at here. So the way it's budgeted here is that, let's say a vehicle costs $40,000 or the expense of $40,000, if we're going to finance $40,000, there's actually, you count it as revenue. Loan proceeds coming in, so it's actually revenue of 40. So really, the net effect on the budget would be zero.
It's a wash.
Net effect is it doesn't. That's why I was afraid.
Mr. Mayor, I've got a suggestion. I've started looking into the recycling, and I'd like to open this up for discussion. Beginning the initial phases of talking about our recycling program, but one area that still bothers me is that we have 21 carts along the big front. Majority of those are picked up by Public Works, several times a week, and then we're paying the waste industries $35 a cart per week, per month.
It's actually $45 plus a 10% surcharge for environmental.
So it's actually more than
$49.50.
All right, so my rough math was $38,222 a year.
But it's actually
Higher than that.
No, it's actually $12,000, about $12,475 approximately.
All right, I was looking at our contract, so it's not $35 a car.
It's $45 a cart plus, but it's
$49.50 total.
$49.50 times 21, so that's $1,039.50 a month. Then times 12, it's like $12,000.
Okay, so I have my numbers off for it. That's $12,000 that we're paying them to basically come by, and when they do dump it, it's contaminated, and when they do dump it, it probably empty called Public Works and picked up before they got there.
So if we do reduce the numbers of cans they pick up, does that come out of the contract exactly as explained? Or is it some type of set fee?
We'd just be eliminating one, which is these are treated differently to begin with. I mean, the bulk of the contract is for residential curbside pickup. So,
right.
I can't say they would want to, I don't know if they want to adjust the contract in any way or not. I mean, we did a couple months ago reduce that number, I think, by 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Did they react?
No.
And Mandy and I were going to try to have a conference call with them next week to discuss this. I mean, discuss our contract with them and some of the information I put together. I just wanted to throw that out there. That'll save us $12,000 a year.
Jimmy, are you normally picking these up anyway?
Yes, sir.
So you are normally doing this anyway. Okay, that's a great idea. What is the input from the other council members?
And these are the ones at the beach accesses, right?
That's 21.
Basically, yeah. On the south side of town.
The one people throw their pizza boxes and their diapers and all the stuff in that makes it unacceptable for recycling, actually. Contaminated, I guess, is what they call it.
Every little bit helps. I thought I'd throw it out there.
Man, I'm mixed on this one. So I agree with Alan. The fact is that we're not getting people to do the right thing, but we're at least sort of signaling that we support the right thing. I'm mixed on it, right? Because you know, taking recycling off all of our crossovers sends a much different message, even if we're not doing the right thing with what goes in the cans, right? I mean, you're just telling people that Pure East doesn't care about recycling, in my mind. Now, is it worth $12,000 to me? That's where I'm mixed on it, right? I don't know the right answer.
But you don't think...
I almost want to tell them to stop picking up and put a different can that says recycle on it and let Jimmy dump it so at least people were supporting recycling if we're not doing the right thing. But that seems bad, too. Yeah, I don't know a good answer on this one yet.
Yeah,
I don't know a good answer at all. So I'm open to the council. I got no input on
it. I thought I'd throw it out there.
Driving me crazy. No.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, David.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
they don't... They're still picking up glass, right?
Oh, yeah. They pick up... Nothing's been eliminated. But,
yeah,
but people coming off the beach, the diapers,
I see it every day when I came on the weekend and I walked to the beach and I walked to E Avenue, I look in it every day just to see it. Jimmy's right. I mean, and the recycling guys are right. People are a problem. But I just hate sending the signal that we're giving up on recycling. That's what it is. At least for our visitors, right? Our citizens are still encouraging them to recycle. We're still charging for it. But for our visitors, we're saying we can't get them to do the right thing, so we're giving up. That hurts, right?
It does, but...
That's where I'm at on. I don't know if it's worth $12,000, but that's the issue for me on this one.
John, where are you?
Well, if you're not going to pick up the recycle, we could leave the sign that... You're not telling the visitors you're not interested in recycling.
Right.
The sign is still there. It says it's a recycled can.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is we put our own there. You know.
I support Alan's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Idea. We can work the signage.
Hey, we can put it in there, and if we get an outpour from the citizens at our public hearing, then that's another thing. But I can't see that our visitors coming here dumping and contaminating the 21 recycling bins, that our citizens have to pay for that. We might as well just cut the losses and send it to the landfill like we are already.
Yeah, no.
So you can't put somebody there at every can saying you're not recycling.
No. I understand. That's why I'm saying I'm torn by it, because I just hate the message, but I understand the money.
I understand. I absolutely. Yeah. Me too.
So, where are you, Joseph?
No, I just think you should stay there.
It's worth
it. Okay, so I guess I'm gonna bust this up then. So it's 2-2. I am going to go with Alan and John. I don't think that I want, we have visitors and we provide so much for these visitors. I know what it looks like, but I don't want the people of this town to have to pay 12 grand because we welcome them, we give them everything else. We will still do recycling for the homes, but I tell you, Jimmy, I think you need to pick up those because you're doing it anyway. I hate to pay them for something we're not getting. And I agree with the two of you that it may not look well, but we're going to have old gators on the beach too, I guess. So
it comes to me a lot of heartburn too, but it's $12,000.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay.
Okay. So
I'm
we're
good with that.
So that we're going to make those adjustments, and duly noted. I think it may come back to haunt us, and you guys may get be able to say we told you so. But at least for now. Yes, Mandy.
If we're going to take this to waste management and amend our contract, do we need a vote on this?
Mandy and I are going to talk with them next week. Why don't we talk with them first?
Yeah.
We've got some time.
Yeah, exactly right. But for the budget purposes, take it out. And then you guys got to figure out if you need something from the council to I think you've got guidance. And,
okay. We'll go now. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's just got to stand on your wallet, and sometimes it ain't tall enough.
Well, we got it. Just while we're on that subject, I'm gonna, at a later time, I'm going to propose us doing a better educational thing on, just to, as a reminder to our citizens, what truly is recyclable and what we can do to eliminate the contamination and to do a better job of what we're trying to accomplish there. Because
mm-hmm.
every time we do forget and we do put things in there that we shouldn't. So
listen, we still have, 26 grand to go?
About 31.
Yeah, 31.
So some other things that one thing that we talked about last budget meeting 2 weeks ago was about the garbage collection fee. And on the next slide, slide 30, what I showed last meeting is just what the additional revenue would be if we increased the collection $1, which is like 14.3%, $1 on a residential can. So, and then to take that same percentage across all the other categories, the extra residential and the commercial, would be about an extra approximately $36,000 in revenue. We talked about it last time.
I think, one, you're doing the right thing. You're showing us all the options. For me, as we've said, I don't think we want to increase the burden on the citizens this year with all the stuff that's going on. It looks like the shortage is 1% of the current fund balance, based on the numbers you're showing on slide 29. I make a motion that we direct, request council's consensus that we direct the finance officer to utilize fund balance to balance the general fund budget and move on.
Second.
And that's with no, increase in garbage fees.
No fee increase, no tax increase. I think on the water fund we got a bigger problem and we got to help people as much as we can.
I would support that too.
Any other comments? Okay, we have a motion, and we have a second. All in favor?
Aye. A request to recess.
Okay. that one smarts a little bit, but
yeah,
because I really don't like using the general fund, but
well, I think
hopefully we're going to have a year that's going to eliminate that requirement.
Well, I think the citizens are using a lot more of their budget, their savings for stuff right now than we're using up there.
Well, I agree.
Well, actually, David, thank you. That gives me a little better feeling.
Right. We typically only spend like 99% of our budget, so we got 1%.
Citizens are hitting their savings. I like that.
Yeah.
We're going to hit our savings.
I think there's plenty of people in town that are using their savings right now. I think using our savings to help them is definitely one of the right.
So have we closed the general fund portion?
Yes, we have.
All right, then let us take about a 10-minute break.
Yes.
And we'll be back for 10:45. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. The brief break is over. And we will continue our discussion. Arlen, you want to get us back online here?
Okay, so at this point, we had finished up the general fund. So I guess if we move on to the water and sewer fund. So on slide 31, I just have a summary there. So that based on the expense reductions we talked about a little earlier today, we still have a shortage of almost $24,000. Again, I could see that number being a little bit higher than that just because of usage being down. So what does that mean? You know, it means we need to, this isn't a fund that we can necessarily appropriate fund balance to balance the fund because it's an enterprise fund, needs to be supported by the fees and other charges that are collected within the fund. So it's not really handed it for, you know, appropriate fund balance.
Yes, Arlen, I think I know the answer to this, but for everybody listening, just because we have a reduction, or maybe it's for Jimmy, just because we have a reduction in the amount of water we are selling doesn't mean that our expenses are dropping that same amount. And I know it won't be near as much. I mean, it could be some less, but it's still costing us the same thing. Basically, correct?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. I mean, it would be a very, potentially a very small reduction. And yeah. That'd be, So, to me, there's really two choices. I mean, try to come up with further expense reductions, which, again, everybody, every department that is part of the Water and Sewer Fund has already done that, basically, and I think we've reduced about $120,000, approximately. But it's hard to come up with any other expense reductions, but it is something we could consider. The other thing is to increase water and sewer rates. So with that, on slide 32, I have a couple options. This is, again, the same information I had shown at our last budget meeting. Just some different options that if we were to take this type of action or any of these actions and list out what that is, and then the far right column shows the additional revenue from those, or estimated additional revenue from those actions. And again, some of these are anything that involves the rate tiers is not, I guess the best way I can put it, guaranteed money, because it really is based on usage. And if our usage is down, even some of my estimates there are probably too high. But there's an, you know, again, I listed out three options here. There could be, you know, any number of options or that council would like to pursue. You know, the first two relate to just increasing the minimum charge. Option one is increase it by 10%. And you know, the estimate there would be about an additional $89,000 in revenue. Option two was increase it, the minimum charge by 20%. The estimate is about $179,000 of additional revenue. Option three is to just do a 10% increase on the rate tier. So the minimum charge would stay the same, but each rate tier, the incremental fee would increase by 10%. Option four, same thing, exactly 20% increase on those rate tiers. And then options five and six, five is a 10% total rate increase, so the minimum fee would increase by 10%, plus each rate tier would increase by 10%. And then option six is 20% total increase, so again, minimum increase by 20%, and rate tiers increase by 20%. This one is a lot more difficult. This fund is a lot more difficult these days, especially, you know, not knowing what's going to happen with the town being shut down and short-term rentals and impact on businesses. So. But we need to do something, I guess. We definitely have.
So are we trying to cover the shortfall? Are we trying to build the fund back up?
Well,
or yes?
Yes, basically. Because, okay. I mean, with a enterprise fund, I mean, it is, you definitely need to cover your
shortfall.
Annual operating expenses. But at the same time, we should be, where we can, increase our reserves for future capital projects.
So we used 1 to 2 million in the last 2 years out of this fund, haven't we? I mean, in the actions we've taken, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, and well, with this one just alone, the water meter project was about $1.3 million.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't have the reserves to pay for that, so we actually borrowed that money to do that. So
we're fine.
So where is the fund right now?
Well, again, this one's a little bit tricky because so much of the fund balance, or this is really a net position for a enterprise fund, but more than two-thirds of that amount is infrastructure and equipment, so it's things that are not spendable, basically.
That's right. Thank you for reminding me of that.
So with this, I believe there is a what could be considered spendable fund balance of about $1.4 million, give or take. To some people, that may sound like a lot. For this type of fund, it's very little, because all we need is one problem, one storm that damages a lot of infrastructure, and that money, that moves on very quickly. And again, it's not something you want to do, is to try to balance that budget with fund balance in an enterprise fund. So we definitely want to make sure we can cover our operating expenses, and we really should be adding something to our reserves for future projects.
Yeah, so, I mean, council knows what I've pushed council for on this fund, and how we respond to challenges with it, right? So there's really three issues in my mind that, as we consider how we change fees and what we're doing. Number one is, as Arlen said, we're required by law to make sure it covers itself and works for the future, right? Which Arlen has done by presenting a budget that does that and telling us the challenges. Number two is, we need to encourage our citizens to reduce water wastage, because the aquifer is challenged, right? And both Joe and I, whenever we meet with Carolina Beach, we'll pass on that concern, as we do every year. And I know Alan's been passing on that concern at the Ports and Waterway meeting. So that concern is both external to Curie Beach and internal to our citizens, right? And as I've said in all of the discussions around this, the way you charge people is the only way really to encourage them to save, right? So we've, over the last few years, actually over probably the last 4 or 5 years, our fees have always targeted the high users, right? And I encourage us to consider that. And then lastly, for our fixed income people, because you can control how much water you use, try to not impact the senior citizens that are retired and already challenged, right? So I've always pushed us to avoid increasing the minimum rate. We did reduce how much gallons that paid for about 3 years ago, I think. 3 years ago, 2 years ago.
We did in two different increments. We
right.
From 3,000 to 2,500.
2,500 to 2,000.
Right. So we've already pressured the minimum area, in my opinion. Additionally, for the businesses and the short-term rentals that are shut down, adding more on the minimum just impacts them. So right now, at least there's no water usage at their property, so they're only paying the minimum like everyone else is, and they're not really using any, right? This could go on for a while. So I'm of the opinion that I would recommend we really focus on number three. Even with Arlen saying he's a little concerned that his shortfall is much more than $23,000, number three is the minimum recommended increase, and that well covers that shortfall.
Well, I'm also, just as I'm saying, you know, what I'm estimating for revenue is, you know, depends on how things transpire with all of this current situation. The same thing with that estimated revenue increase.
Hold on.
If we don't see the, if we don't see the amount of volume, you know, it's based on historical, so that even
yeah.
that estimated additional revenue is...
It's probably high. I agree.
So three will leave the minimum as it is, but just raise the tiers.
That's right. That's number three, right? And I understand what you're saying, right? And you're giving us the exact good advice. We don't know. But at least one, for our citizens that are challenged with their spending, they can look at their water usage and control that, right? So the people that were spending a lot, and you're right, they'll decrease their usage, which will decrease our revenues, but it decreases some of Jimmy's expenses as well, right? And it decreases our spending to Carolina Beach on the sewer side as well. So that's my recommendation as the Public Works Commissioner, is that we use number three to balance this for this. And then we have to relook at it in the fall, because it all went south, then we'll have to relook at it in the fall. This is another one that water rates could be adjusted during the year if we find we're in trouble.
Correct.
Well, I actually, from my particular view, that minimum rate doesn't only help the individuals who are maybe financially challenged on fixed incomes. anybody can achieve that rate if they manage their water.
That's right. Exactly.
So we have a target area that we would like people to be in, and it does not cost a lot of money. If you don't want to be in that area, then you can pick any tier you want to be in.
That's right.
Based on the amount of water that you use. So this is strictly voluntary, my opinion. People might argue with that.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, you can pick the tier you want based on the amount of water you use.
Right.
Some months you might use more than others, and you're going to pay more during those months. But everybody has the opportunity to stay at minimum. Everybody.
And I'll just start just... some information that on average about, I would say, 40 to 45% of the residential billing account billings are in that minimum range, 0 to 2,000 gallons.
Yep. I'm not helping myself, right? I have too many kids coming, although right now I probably am, this month maybe for the first time.
I'm okay.
but if you got a family of 4 or 5 in a house, it's gonna be difficult for them to stay within the minimum. But a family of 2
right.
should stay within. So that's just what you have for having.
Yeah.
But I think this is the right approach.
Yeah. That's my recommended approach to the council.
We'll make a motion.
Well, let's hear from John. John?
We have a shortfall of 23,000+. And that number 3 raises 115.
Well, yes. The issue is, Arlen says the shortfall is really higher, and that's probably lower because of the estimates. Because he did it off historical.
And we've got to build the funds up.
That's why I proposed that one. So they're probably closer, way closer than it looks like on that because of 2 factors, right? So the shortfall is worse based off input, but we're using historical, and we think historical is way off. It definitely is way off for this month. Jimmy could look at.
Well, these are linear terms, the way I use it. So a 5% tier increase would be half of that.
Right.
111 is 65, mm-hmm. 55, which is still double the shortfall.
But that's not
getting the other issue shortfall. Is building the fact that you're supposed, in this type of fund, you're supposed to have not only covering operating costs, but covering infrastructure improvements. We're not doing that. You know.
But I guess I think if we made reductions in this to get down to the 23,
right.
And now we're going to push it back up, what would we have recommended to cover those costs that we reduced to get to the 23 shortfall?
The same types of actions. I mean, it just would have been a lot larger amount. I mean, you really have very few options in this water and sewer fund.
Right.
And besides reducing expense, I mean, we also reduced the amount of income from tap fees because of, you know, looking at building activity. So there was a reduction of revenue there. You know, we have less investment earnings. There's just a number of factors, but bottom line is, what is the revenue? What is the main revenue source for this fund is water and sewer fees.
Yeah, and well,
go ahead, Dave.
This one, John, we've been telegraphing, so both Jimmy and Arlen at meetings in the fall talked about this fund and the fact that the fees were going to be going up. So while I'm sure many of our citizens would say you shouldn't raise it at all, and I understand that thought. This has been telegraphed that we were low for at least the last 6 months.
Since
well,
January.
Let me.
I
have a couple questions.
Back to the chart.
Yep.
Earlier, we were short 141,000. This raises 115.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 25, and we're short 23. So we're almost actually doing the 10% tier increase to cover the original budget input.
Okay. Let me ask Jimmy a few questions here. When we did the 4th Street transfer station, what did that cost, Jimmy?
Get the mic, Jimmy, so people on the
phone can hear. Come on, lift station?
Yeah. Didn't that cost us about $500,000 where we ripped up the street and What was the work that we did right there at the Public Works building?
Yeah, it was the new lift station. Yeah,
right, the new lift station. About, what did it cost on the new lift station?
About $725,000, somewhere in there.
$725,000 for a lift station. What are the ages of our lift stations?
Well, that's definitely the newest one.
But I'm saying, how about the oldest? Are they 20 years old? Or?
Oh, yeah. I've been here going on 13 years, so honestly, I don't know the age of them, but I know we've had several of them.
They're just old. So we would agree that they're just old.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So with $740,000 for one lift station, $1.3 million for the new water system, I mean the new water gauges, meters, and we have plans along Settlers Lane and a couple areas that we wish to improve the drainage, and we are looking at grants, but a portion of the grant we would have to pay to improve the amount of water we're putting into the ocean.
That's the stormwater fund. So that's
okay, but so, I mean, the only point that I'm trying to get to here is $1.4 million isn't enough, and that's what you're talking about. One disaster, and we're going to be borrowing money.
Correct.
And then we'll have to pay for it anyway, and at a greater rate. So I'm just throwing that out to give council an idea of the type of spending that goes on in an area like this. So, John, I think you're on a great point about a way that we could reduce the cost. What I'm concerned about is being a little more prepared for the future. But, Alan, where are you on this? John had a recommendation.
I think the 10% is the way to go. It's the least impacts our residents. The ones who are using the most water are going to pay. And also, it puts money back towards the fund balance. It also covers us if the revenue numbers are lower than what we anticipate. I mean, these are not actual. These aren't numbers that we can look at and say we'll actually be there. So it gives us some room to play with. And whatever we have left over goes into fund balance where we definitely need to put money for down the road. So I'm with number three. I think that's the best one.
Okay.
I'm not arguing against the 10% tier. I'm trying to say that because we're saving the shortfall to cover the estimate, I understand, is 23. We're raising 115. If you go back to the original budget for this fund, it's 141,000, and we're raising 115. So to me, it's kind of semantic. We're raising 115 against that original 2021 water fund, and it gets us a lot closer. We're not just covering the 23 with a lot of extra. We're almost going back and keeping it.
That's true, but
four.
Well, the original increase, so, was due to expenses that were going to be real this year. Now this increase is due to put money in the fund for potential future infrastructure. So I agree, the comparison is good. Your recommendation is a good recommendation, but one would be real expenses that would be spent in this year's budget, as opposed to this money is going to go into the fund and only get spent when we need to use it for infrastructure improvements. So.
So to raise the 115, or close to that, is going to cover the 23 shortfall and then sit in extra. It's not planned to go back and cover the 55,000 in software and 30,000.
No, it is not for that.
Okay.
It is not for that. Right, Alan? Right, Alan?
Correct.
This is designated into a different fund. So anybody who hasn't had an... So do we have a motion?
I make a motion we go with option three for the 10% rate tier increase.
I'll second.
And we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. All right. Thank you, Alan. That will not be popular, but it's unfortunately necessary.
Well, I think your point that you have a lot more control over your water usage than your property value.
Yes.
Is very relevant. Mm-hmm. And for the people that are struggling, whether they rent their property all the time or they rent it part of the time and then use it part of the time, if they're not getting any rentals, we didn't impact them any more than they already are being impacted.
Okay. Gentlemen, that was a good discussion. Good ideas. Thank you, John. That was a good idea. Make everybody think and make sure how that money is being used. Where are we now, Arlen?
Okay, so the last fund we need to talk about is the stormwater fund. And, David spoke about that a little earlier in this meeting. Right now, it looks like the shortage is about $6,900, but I threw that other information in there because it's really important at this point in time. So one is that at June 30th, 2019, when we had our last audit, that stormwater fund balance was just about $290,000. When I look at it on a current basis, it's down to, let's say $186,000. So we have already this year used approximately $104,000 out of that fund balance, in addition to all the revenue that's coming, to work on various projects. We still have work going on the beach for the stormwater outfalls that we may or may not get reimbursed from FEMA to repair damage from Hurricane Dorian. So I guess with this one, I don't think we want to just focus on a shortage of $6,900. We want to also look at what do we really have available for future projects. And hurricanes are a good example. If we have a hurricane again and we have whether it be stormwater outfalls or some other stormwater damage, we have minimal way to pay for that right now. As an example, after Hurricane Matthew, I think it cost about $175,000 to repair the outfalls. Yeah, we got the money back from FEMA, but sometimes that can take years to get that money back.
Well, no. So, this is another one where that's why we have a strong fund balance in the general fund. You could cover in the short term with that, with a transfer, and then pay it back if you got reimbursed. Kind of on this one, I apologize to council. We're not ready for this one. I know I hate to say that, but Jimmy and I are not ready to recommend to council how much stormwater impacts we have from the IDLS stuff. And so my recommendation is we hold on this in the budget process and then readdress when we're ready and set that fee separately. Since in the budget, we don't have to adjust this yet. We just recognize starting off on our budget, we'll take it out of the stormwater fund balance and then we'll fix it in the next few months so we don't slow down the budget process. I don't know if Arlen's comfortable with that. We haven't talked, but that will be my initial position on this specific fund. Arlen, do you have concerns with that from either regulatory or as the budget officer?
Well, not really from regulatory, but I guess as the budget officer, again, my concern is where we are right now with our total fund balance.
Are you talking about pushing this beyond July before we make a change?
Potentially. Arlen said in January
we need to do something. We should have done something in January, in my opinion, but we can't.
Yeah. And I follow that position as well. So I'm okay either way. I'm just telling you my thoughts, right? So I don't even feel like with the work I feel like I haven't done yet around this that I have a recommendation to council on how much to put in there, right? So we can either do two fee increases if you're concerned, and I think I understand your position and you might be right that, okay, we're already behind, or we wait. I'm okay either way with that. I just think that I don't have a placeholder to give Arlen to put in there, and so he can't do his part of the process without that, right? So the one we have in there, I believe, is way too low, right? So we have a $25,000, I think, for projects in this year, and I think there are going to be more than that.
Yeah, I think about $30,000.
I couldn't remember the placeholder now, but you know, I think after we look at the recommendation, the one thing that makes me feel good is we've had some pretty heavy rains in the last few months, and we've had no property concerns, right? So the work that we've done is protecting the property we have. Now, that's not to say it would protect it if we got another Florence with 30 inches in 24 hours, but we've had some 2 to 3 inch rainfalls in a pretty fast amount of time already this year and late last year, and no properties were jeopardized. So that makes me feel like we're not an extremist on the stormwater system. Not to say we don't have recommendations we should work on, but if that's why I'm fine either way we go, right? We can have a small increase, and then once we flush it out better, readdress it, and we'd also have time to see, okay, is the economic situation for our citizens any better or not? So if you're saying, Joe, catch up where we know we've got a problem, which is what Arlen would say, then I'm fine with that, and we can readdress it as we flesh out the other projects. I'm fine with that as well.
Well, I think we need to go ahead and do something.
And I put up slide 34, just shows kind of our current residential rate, which is $8.71 a month, and then I just have a number of incremental increases and what additional revenue would be brought in for those big increases.
Well, without future projects, would you say the 10% fee would catch you where you think you need to be? Not factoring in the LDSI stuff, but just from what we've done historically and where you feel the fund is. What would you recommend without that?
I can go back. I'll just give one little bit of history. Back in 2012, we went up about 80%.
Right.
So we went from, like, I believe $4 and something to the current $8.71. The reason right. being is to do very significant projects, which we now have done.
Right.
So to go along with and to try to answer your question, I guess it depends on what, and I know this is what you're waiting for, what significant projects
right.
do we have coming down the road?
Right.
So that's why it's really hard for me to say, well, should we do a 10%? Should we do a 50% increase? Not knowing what the time horizon is for the different projects that we have.
I understand, so, but assuming no significant projects, just status quo for the last year, few years, and then we'll readdress it once we identify the projects, I think.
Then at a minimum, I would probably do the either 10% or 25%.
I'll do in between those two recommendations. Yeah.
Make it a round number.
Well, that's $10, and that's $1.30 a month per resident, so you're talking $12 a year, or a little more than that, $15 a year, I guess, if I do math right.
Yeah.
And I think that closes with the exception of large projects that we haven't identified yet. Right?
Right.
So then my motion for this budget would be to split the difference on Arlen's recommendations and go to the 14.8% fee increase to $10 per business.
So we have a motion. Do we have other opinions?
You'll say it again, David, you'll raise it $10 a month.
No, raise it $1.29.
I mean, excuse me, $1.29 a month.
Yes, sir. So every citizen will see about $15 a year.
But what we have to understand is that we don't have money in this fund to do any projects.
Right.
And that
as we identify projects, I think they have to support themselves, and Arlen will have to look at the amount he would recommend, and then council has to weigh the benefits of the project versus the cost to the citizens based on the economics.
Because it may be 20% more, or 25%
based on the project, more. That's exactly right.
I'll second that. I'll give it that.
Okay, so we do have a motion and a second. We're in discussion. So, Joseph, you have an opinion?
I would have preferred the 25% increase, because, I mean, I feel like we're going to be there anyway, and we do have things to pay for, so.
Okay, so, Joe.
At a minimum, 25%, because no matter what, we're still going to have to raise the money and get the money in the funds. So, I'm not one for, let's not put one foot in the water. Let's just go ahead and jump off the back of the boat and get in, you know.
John?
I'm going to just the $10 total.
Okay. So, I mean, from my particular opinion, there's time to jump in with a cannonball and there's time to wade into the water because of the conditions. So from my particular point of view, I wish we didn't have to do anything here, but there is, there's been a lot of work. A lot of areas in the town have much better drainage right now, and there's areas that still need some work. We're all in this one together, so I recognize what Joe is saying. I don't think we're in a position right now to jump in heavily. I'm thinking more along the lines of $10. Any further discussion? If not, we're going to go to a vote. You want to debate a little more, Joe? It's okay.
Okay. I just mentioned that $10, if you increase it, that is the residential rate. So there's also commercial rates that vary depending on the size of the property. What I would recommend there, if we're increasing by
the same percentage,
14%, that all of those would increase. I would also recommend one other little change. Right now we have what's called a duplex rate, which is lower than the residential rate. To treat this the same way we treat the duplexes for water and sewer and garbage collection, I think we should make the duplex more of a residential unit. So if a residential unit is $10, well, a duplex, each side of the duplex is a residential unit, each one would be charged $10. Well,
that sounds incredibly logical to me, but before we go there, actually we should close out on the motion and then we can deal with the rest. So we have a motion for a $1.29 increase at up to $10. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All against?
No.
Okay. So now let's deal with what you were talking about, Arlen. So we have duplexes that don't pay the same thing as an individual property?
Yeah, I guess when all this was set up, they were set at a lower rate, so each part of the duplex had a lower rate than a normal residential rate. Like, I don't have it in front of me right now, but I guess right now the residential is $8.71. That rate is $6 and something. To treat each one of those residential units or each side of the duplex the same as we do with every other fee, I think they should also be charged, in this case, the $10.
What in the world could be the logic to have it different? I mean,
when we set up the stormwater fee, it was based off property size.
Yeah.
And so if you think about it, they're on a 50 by 100 lot and covering, but they have two properties there, right? So when we initially did that, because I was involved in the initial stormwater setup, the arguments for and against, the for is, okay, they're treated as residential, and then the against is, yeah, but they're not creating any more stormwater than a house.
Yeah.
And there's two payers. So if you look at the fee, the two together are paying more than the single residence.
Okay.
Right? So they're paying more individually. So a 50 by 100 lot with a duplex on it pays more for stormwater than a 50 by 100 lot with a single family residence, even though it generates the same amount of stormwater.
I do understand. I understand.
So that's how it was set up. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying the history of it, right?
No, I finally, now I understand what the logic was, and there is a good degree of logic. I would go with the logic of a household is a household.
Right.
That's the way it's applied in some other places. So I'm just trying to make something
that's right.
consistent across the board.
And I'm fine with Arlen's proposed change. You know, I mean, it's just how it was set up a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not wed to it, and I was involved in the setup, so yeah. I'm okay with Arlen's change. I can support it. It makes sense. It makes the billing a lot more standardized across the town, and it's easy for Arlen's team to explain to someone, here's all your fees, without having to try to explain this weird one that's an outlier. So I support that if you want to change it. What do you think, John, as a building inspector? Do you have any view either way?
I think they should pay just as much as the residents.
Okay. So I make a motion we change the fee structure for duplexes to coincide with all the other fee structures and treat them as a residence.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do I have any other comments? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay.
And then one last motion. I make a motion that the commercial stormwater fee be increased by 14.8%, just like the residential fees.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Marlon, what is the commercial fee as opposed to this fee?
It ranges.
So when we set them up, basically the building inspector had to provide square footage coverage for each site, and then it was based on a percentage factor. I think every building's individual, at least I think when we first started it was. They may have all morphed a little bit, but when we first set up, it was all, everyone was individual, which was a big pain for John and I initially with a big Excel spreadsheet, but it may have simplified now, I'm not sure.
There's still probably, I'm working around, but about 20 different rates for commercial, and they range anywhere from in the $6 range up to about $90.
Right.
Depending on the size of the property.
So, okay. So some properties would actually be over $100 a month.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of
very few.
Yeah, they're providing basically 100% of their lots providing stormwater because they have no impervious or no pervious surfaces.
But even though it may be 100 a month, it's still like about $10 more than what they're currently paying, I guess.
14%.
Because I was trying to think of the impact.
Yeah.
You know, on our businesses. I guess based on the highest number being 90, I could live with that. So we have any other comments, questions? Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor of raising the commercial stormwater fees by 14.8%, each one being different depending on the square footage. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay.
So I think that at this point, with all the different actions that we've had, that brings all of the town funds that, you know, we will have them balanced with all these, and that we'll be able to present then the formal proposed budget at the May Town Council meeting.
So where we. Summarizing in my mind, and Arlen, you may need to add to this, or David, or Alan, since you're the liaison. I think what we have achieved here is a budget that requires no real estate taxes increase. There's an increase in the water rate, but the water rate can be managed by family.
The variable water rate.
It's a variable water rate that can be managed by family. And the last item, of course, is the enterprise fund for sewage. Stormwater, which we are in the process of improving the town. And that increase is a 10% increase, going from about $1.29 up to maybe $14 maximum for some businesses.
Correct. Yeah, the increase.
Is there anything in that summary that I missed?
Well, I think that's the key things. I mean, the general fund would really, there's no fee increases,
right.
Or, as you said, tax increase proposed. So I think it's
okay. I want to thank each and every one of you department heads. You came in here with a budget that you thought you needed to keep this town safe, keep this town with the services that it's already had. We ask you to cut it, and you cut the discretionary items and did what was necessary to make sure that there was no tax increase to the general population. And you were able to, by doing that, ensure that you protected the COLA and the increases that were designated for your people, for the people who earned it. So I think y'all did a good job. So I don't, Anybody from council have any comments for the department heads? How about overall, just a general good work?
Yeah.
Yeah,
thank you. Great job.
Okay.
The one thing I'll just, I guess the one part that's still a little bit unknown is, I guess, with the town attorney and needing to get back, so that.
Yes. Yes, we'll get back with that.
Have any of those discussions, if you could let me know, I guess, as soon as possible, because that will have an impact there, too, so.
Yep.
And so I know the budget process is you need to close your budget by the end of April so that you can advertise in May, so at the May meeting, is that correct? What's our planning process?
Yeah, we'll try to keep it consistent with, you know, what we have. Yeah, we have to have a proposal. There has to be a proposal to council by June 1st. So right. What we have done in the past and plan, I think, to do now is that would be the proposed budget would be presented to council at the May meeting.
Right.
We then have a public hearing scheduled or planned or whatever, I believe, early June. I forget the exact date right off the top of my head, but that we'll have to handle, I guess, in a manner similar to what we're doing right now. And there's been some information put out on you know, how we should do that, whether it's letting people ask questions like you've done in the emergency meetings, or providing for questions to be sent to the town clerk or someone else, that then they're read and addressed. So there's some guidance out there on how to do that. So I think we should keep that part of the process the way it is. One other part that was just discussed yesterday was how you make the budget available to the public, or typically after it's presented, in our case at the main council meeting, it goes on file with the town clerk that anybody could come in and look at it. We also put it on our town website.
Right.
So okay. That's a lot, that's fine to do it that way, but it's also recommended in case someone doesn't have internet access that it be posted, even if it's posted on the door in our bulletin board. And the only part that needs to be posted is the actual ordinance. It doesn't have to be the whole budget message, which typically is 20, 30 pages, but the actual budget ordinance, then I think we should post, whether it is on our bulletin board, on the door, something.
That's what we normally do, right? And it's normally posted on the front door, I think, isn't it?
At least on the bulletin board, we're not posted on the front door.
Yeah, but the bulletin board is posted somewhere. It used to be, I thought.
I
don't know if we've
this is my first budget as a
clerk. Right.
Normally I have the binder in my office, right. And anyone that wants to come view it can view it.
It's coming the wrong door, I guess, but when did we change that? Because it used to be posted right on the front door.
I think it's, you know, the typical way is that it's on file with the town clerk for anyone to come and review.
Okay.
But again, because of the circumstances, you know, that's what's suggested.
Right.
So we would still meet all the requirements and then still be in a position for town council to vote on the budget at the June council meeting.
Okay. So, and we do have the opportunity to put it in that very nice glass bulletin board we have now.
Right. So. Well, I think, one, we only have one outstanding line item. I saw you emailed the information. Town attorney, I know you're online, so.
And he's emailed it back down.
Oh, has he already? Sorry, I haven't read my email. But yeah. If you want to talk to council, I would propose we can talk about it at the Monday night meeting, because we have a regularly scheduled meeting. And then that should give you plenty of time to meet all your other gates without having to have another meeting, it sounds like. Do you agree, council?
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
I mean, it sounds from Andy's email, it sounds like he's agreeable to what?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, then it sounds like
all right, there you go.
You have the answer.
Yeah.
Good. Excellent process, Arlen. Way to keep us on track with all the crazy stuff that's going on. That's nice. Well, I know a lot of other towns are not where we are right now in their budget process, for sure.
Well, yep. I've talked to folks this past week, and you know, they're anticipating, I don't know how their revenues are projected or what revenues they have, but they're not as good shape as we're in. They're looking at potential, you know, furloughs and layoffs and other type of things. So I think Arlen's seen some of that too, and some the list sort of things. So, you know, sales tax could be another thing that's.
Yeah, I mean, that's still a moving target, and I did reduce that some.
Good.
But it's still a guess. I mean, everybody's guessing at this point.
No. And I would recommend it if we're not to a point, I mean, if there's still some variables in there, you know, we have to adopt the budget by the end of June. So we don't have to adopt the budget at our June meeting. We could have a special meeting to come in the last week of June and actually adopt the budget if we have significant questions that may be that could impact on the budget next year.
No, I agree. And I think Arlen does a great job of telling us when there are problems, and the council has to respond to that, right? Just like the department has to. And y'all have done a good job.
Yes,
we just have to see how it goes. I mean, the town's very fortunate that historically we have conservatively budgeted and appropriately raised fees and tax rates such that we had a healthy savings account for just this issue. We didn't know what the issue was going to be. We normally would say it's hurricanes, right? So past councils adopted, here's the target for our fund balance based off of our expenditures, which is well above the state requirement. That's why we're where we are now. And I hope our citizens are doing the same thing in their personal finances so that while they're struggling, they have a savings account to go to. Because that's every financial counselor ever, that's the first thing they say, is you should have a savings account for emergencies. First thing. And I think it's turned out a lot of people realize they don't do that, which is bad. I'm glad we are. I'm glad previous councils pushed us that way.
Okay. Any questions or comments from the department heads?
On a side note, the state did just approve our request for historic preservation.
So,
they just emailed back to support it.
I'm sorry, the state just
the
what?
The state approved us for our historic preservation.
Okay, very good. All right, since there are no other comments, may I have a motion to close the budget meeting?
Do you have any questions?
We just have one email that I forwarded to you, but I think it's actually a sales email.
Sales email?
More than just a public comment.
A solicitation.
Okay. All right. Nothing else to deal with?
What'd you do adjourn?
Motion?
Oh, wait a minute.
We have more?
No, I was just reading the email. Never mind.
I just have one more thing. So, for everyone that's listening, we're going to lock the meeting, but we're going to reconvene for the emergency meeting on the same line. At 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Did you mean to ask the audience on the phone if they have any questions?
For these, we've been having an email.
Yeah, our direction was that they send us the questions online. And we had the one comment, right? So, okay. Anything else?
Take a motion, we close the budget meeting, right? Close it, right?
So we have a motion from Joe.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So we just
see. I'm sorry.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The meeting has been locked.